Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pat Noga from the Massachusetts Hospital Association, and we're happy to present to you the EmLink Hospital Mortality Program Self-Assessment Tool Program. Today we're going to be focusing on structures and processes. And I would like to welcome you on behalf of Karen Nelson, our Senior Vice President of Clinical Affairs, myself, Senior Director, and Patricia Cimino-Boyce, who is our consultant working on the EmLink project with us. Great. So this this program is part of our larger statewide performance improvement agenda here in the state, where our hospitals are collectively focusing on improving safety, efficiency, and quality. And the goal to improve quality is focused on reducing the in-hospital mortality rate. And with our focus on reducing the in-hospital mortality rate, we've developed the EmLink program, which is a peer-based learning opportunity for hospitals to identify best practices correlated with reductions in mortality, applied system supports used in high reliability organizations, and to identify and implement protocols to identify and differentially treat high-risk patients. And the objectives for today's program, which is an hour in length, we're going to be providing an overview of the EmLink Hospital Mortality Review Program self-assessment tool, which we've developed with input from stakeholders across our hospitals. Second, to discuss the application of the EmLink tool to assess and monitor hospital mortality program development. And thirdly, to review opportunities to use the tool for setting goals and improvement priorities for mortality reduction activities. In just a second, I'll be turning over the program to Patty Cimino-Boyce, but just wanted to mention to you that all of your lines are muted for now, and at the conclusion of Patty's presentation, the operator will come on the line and will moderate a question and answer session. Okay, Dr. Boyce, I'll turn it over to you right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Noga. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. I'm very happy to review the tool with you. Some of you have already been briefly familiarized with the tool through some of our previous communications at through EmLink at MHA. We're happy to use this time today as a little bit more of an in-depth look at the tool, hoping that all of you may be willing to take it for a test run. We've had some good experience with hospitals to date and looking to build some more comfort and create more of a common platform for folks using it as a good self-assessment, as an internal tool to identify some areas for improvement, particularly around mortality reduction. As Dr. Noga just communicated, the tool is really developed in response and input from all of you. We're using it as a framework, again, a common language to enhance existing programs for reducing inpatient mortality. What we've done is we've culled all of the best literature we can put together, as well as kind of the best practice locally and nationally, and we've actually identified what we consider to be these structures and processes that are most consistent with what we consider a continuum or ongoing development activities around mortality review programs. The framework is intended to serve as a guide. There's both criteria and elements in that framework that really kind of are intended to guide action, which is really improvement-directed. The expectation or the hope here is that ongoing application of the framework will allow hospitals to further integrate those criteria and elements into the development of a robust, comprehensive mortality review program internally. As you can see on the right side of your screen here, it's really organized in a series of stages, and this really speaks to what we think of as this development cycle, and everyone really can see themselves at some point of this continuum, but there's always opportunity to progress and to certainly advance more with further activities along these dimensions. The focus here is really on hospital improvement, and what's really here is important is focusing a little differently from the retrospective analysis around what happened, more to a prospective or a proactive approach. It's really identification, rapid response, and prevention of hospital deaths. And ideally, this will be really integrated into a system-wide approach and strategic approach around mortality reduction as a center point for clinical management. Really here, in terms of looking at it as more around improvement, we're focusing on the internal analysis of where hospitals are around these key structures and processes, looking at the specific criteria and elements for action. It's more of a thinking and a learning about what structures and processes you currently have in place, and less of a focus on reporting somewhere outside of your organization. There's no expectation, certainly from MLINK and MHA, that there's any reporting going out towards us, but we're most interested in sending you tools, references, resources, and any kind of mechanism for you to really take that look and have some self-reflection on opportunities for focusing on greater enhancements to your mortality review program, ultimately looking at mortality as really a measure of quality, safety, and success. We're looking at having this happen through more of a shift in culture, as we talked about really shifting the focus from retrospective to proactive management. It's really thinking differently about how mortality is addressed across the systems. What we know by working and hearing from so many of you that there's so much that's already going on around mortality work, it just may not be captured under the rubric of a mortality review program. Some of the work within the tool allows you to kind of reorient your thinking in a way that you're capturing those activities that you're currently doing, really, really good work around clinical practice management and improvement work, to really thinking of it as a concentration collaboratively and coordinated-wise as a focus on mortality reduction. Ultimately, this will allow you to be in a position where you're tracking mortality data over time on key populations with benchmarks for performance. And ideally, you're benchmarking your own performance over time. So as we've described, the mortality program is focused on criteria, or what we call these structural elements to building an effective program. And they're really included in their number of system elements, clinical practices, and strategies for preventing, recognizing, and treating patients in at-risk conditions. There's three main sections of the tool. The first is really discussing the culture of quality improvement for mortality reduction. And that focuses a little bit on the kind of the higher level issues, the leadership that's in place, the extent to which there is really a concentrated and a strategic focus on mortality reduction, particularly at the administrative and board level, and really thinking about kind of a system-level approach, both on the orientation of mortality reduction as a strategic priority, as well as the ongoing system integration and tracking of measures and related performance data. The second main section is mortality risk assessment and surveillance. And in this section, we're really focused on really thinking about the diagnostics, the regular measurement and feedback mechanisms, and the ongoing mechanism and support structures for reviewing that data over time. And it's not just really taking the data in a static format, but really making it as dynamic as possible and moving it through the system so there's feedback and response to the data at hand. And then the third major section is really the opportunity to create standardization and a reliability of clinical processes. And this is where we really think about the application of a lot of the clinical evidence. So it's around event detection and recognition, standardized communication protocols, use of interventions to reduce hospital-acquired infections, which we know many of that is the evidence-based bundles and interventions that are already at hand. Use of other interventions to address adverse events and medication management, and thinking through the appropriateness of the setting of care. These three main sections actually consist of 10 criteria that are embedded in each, and there's a total of 50 sub-elements, which we consider those action elements that ultimately kind of comprise the tool, those process steps and activities that relate to improvement opportunities. There's one other piece that just wanted to highlight here, and it's really an other section. And this is quite important because what we want to make sure is that the tool is really intended to be for internal use at your own organizations, and the opportunity here is to really customize it to anything that may not be included or may need to be addressed based on other priorities or areas that you may already be working on. So this other category allows you to really customize the tool to your needs. So this next screen here, these next two screens are really a screenshot of what I just described, which is the sub criteria under each of these main sections. So for culture of quality improvement, the first main section, we have leadership mandate and aim for mortality reduction. Those are the two critical criteria under that section. For mortality risk assessment and surveillance, we have mortality diagnostic, robust measurement and feedback, and system level review. And lastly, for the main section on standardization and reliability of clinical processes, we have event detection, standardized communication protocols, interventions for HAIs, interventions for adverse events and medication harm, appropriateness of setting, and the other category. This next picture is just a view, it's a screenshot, and it should be a nice snapshot of the tool that you've already received or downloaded, which is really just the tool in and of itself. The tool, as you receive it, has three pages. The first page is really some instructions on it, which is really defining what we just went over, which is the three main sections, the structural elements, and some definitions around the criteria and subparts, and then some information about the calculation and the results and how to interpret those results, which we'll go over, and then the stages of development, which we will also review. The second page of the tool is really what you see on the screen right now, and that is the very high-level snapshot of this assessment tool. And as you can see, the main sections are oriented to the left of the screen, and then there's an answer format to the right, which we'll go over. There's five levels of response on your tool, and this allows you to really categorize your response in a meaningful way. If you're using this as it's intended with a team or a committee of multidisciplinary folks involved in clinical performance and mortality reduction, what you really want to do is see or assess the extent to which these items may be in place at this time. And if not, that creates obviously the opportunity to focus on that in greater detail. So the levels of response are really asking you the extent to which that item may be in place. Again, thinking of this as a continuum where if you're certainly having something in place, though it's not very robust at this time, there are always opportunities to kind of add greater focus to that particular element. So the response categories are there's either nothing in place at this time, there is something in place, but it's informal at best. The third category is there's a formal process in place, but it's not specifically applied to mortality reduction. This third category is also your way of starting to kind of link things up, things that you may already be doing for improvement purposes or the clinical management purposes that you're not seeing, again, under this rubric of mortality reduction. The fourth response is, yes, you do have a formal process in place, and it is specifically related to mortality reduction. And the fifth space is that kind of the highest level of your response, which is there's a robust system or process in place. It's intended to prevent, detect, or treat at-risk patients and conditions and ultimately reduce the incidence of mortality. The expectation here is that you would actually answer each one of these 10 main criteria under those three sections, and then you'd score yourself. And this is just a very crude way of seeing where you kind of end up. The intention here is then to rate yourself on this what we call stages of development. So, for example, if you scored less than 15 points for all 10 questions, you'd be closer to a stage 1. 16 to 25 points around a stage 2. Stage 3 is 26 to 35. Stage 4 is 36 to 45. And stage 5 is 50 points. Obviously, there's a 5, you know, Likert scale of 5 with 10 questions. So the highest point value you can get is 50, which would be the highest stage of stage 5. Again, this is intended to be high-level, relatively crude assessment, but to really give you an idea of where you are falling somewhere on that continuum. It's not an exact science. There's other detail that can certainly back you up in terms of looking at the specifics, but it's supposed to be a high-level, quick look to get an idea of where the opportunities are for you to do more work. The response is that you ultimately might want to use this information from this self-assessment process to ultimately set aims for improvement and continue to reassess and benchmark where you are, not just from a mortality reduction standpoint around mortality rates, but also in terms of process and structural elements in place to ultimately support your program. Now, I just want to spend a moment talking about the stages of development. The stages of development, again, are that continuum we just described. It's really from stage 1 to stage 5, stage 1 being the most basic, stage 5 being the most robust. And again, it's measured by the percentage of criteria completed or addressed upon the self-assessment activity. Here is a picture of what you've also received as a separate document or can download on the MLink page of MHA. And this is really kind of giving you a much more in-depth description of what those stages of development entail. So, for example, stage 1, as we talked about before, is where you're going to typically have more of those one answers in place, where there's no formal program in place. Though that does not mean that you're not collecting or trending data on raw mortality, and you're doing what we would consider the basic elements of identification and creation of mortality review process. So there's certainly recognition for folks who are at stage 1. We know there's things going on. The next stages actually look at kind of adding layers in terms of the structures and processes that may be in place. Stage 2 is really talking about a multi-professional review committee in place or functioning. It has responsibilities for measuring mortality across patient populations. Ultimately, this data would be reported across clinical departments, and you're ultimately using the data to identify goals for improvement. Stage 2, obviously, you're kind of towards the midpoint of that scale, so this is where you may be answering that you do have something in place, and it may be more specifically attached to mortality reduction. This is where we would tend to see you having more of an effective measurement and feedback system in place. There's staff training and awareness, and there's some level of intervention protocols in place, particularly for those conditions in advance at greatest risk, which you've identified, obviously, through your own data trending and tracking. Stage 4 is where we really get to that next level, where we know we have formal processes in place very specifically for mortality reduction. This is also where there's a certain level of accountability and certainly strategic importance, connecting that work all the way through administration and the board or some executive committee. It's also where we'd have some monitoring across key populations where there's some stratification of those patients or events at greatest risk. There's benchmarking across those targets around performance, and there's also protocols that have been implemented and certainly tracked over time. There's also some element in place here around assessing and referring end-of-life care. So in order to be a stage 4, we'd assume that there's some level of understanding around transitions of care, some understanding around kind of both coding and allocation of care in terms of palliative care or comfort care and the contribution that that might be making towards mortality reduction. Stage 5 ultimately is what we consider that highest stage. It's where you have the most highly developed and well-integrated program in place. There's a very strong emphasis on internal improvement. Really well supported through robust measurement and feedback systems. There's case review and very good integration and maintenance through the quality improvement systems and performance improvement systems through the hospital. There's community coordination and integration around end-of-life care, and the rates have demonstrated some level of sustained improvement or what we would consider a reasonable reduction that's trended and positive over some protracted period of time, which would be at least 2 years. The goal here is what you see on this continuum is always an opportunity to go further. So as we have folks start to try out this tool and see where they are, they're starting to look at, okay, what would I need to do to get to that next stage of program development? So just taking a very quick example, Hospital A. So thinking of those three main sections, this is kind of a very typical setup that many of what we've seen, certainly many of you may see or recognize within yourselves in terms of where you may be. So around leadership and culture, maybe mortality reduction is set as a strategic goal, though there's no specific aims or an improvement target for where you want to achieve around improvement or reducing mortality rates. There's medical staff leadership and board review of mortality measures. Certainly that data around risk assessment and surveillance is in place in terms of individual inpatient deaths on a regular basis. It's reviewed on QI Risk Management Committee. There's certainly feedback going to the clinical departments. And around standardization and reliability, there's a good deal of implementation on clinical bundles that is already embedded in place, particularly on those issues such as the areas that we know would be, you know, kind of high-prone, high-risk areas. Clinical conditions, there's initiation of some rapid response teams, so that may be somewhat new to the organization, though they are in place. There's improvements to care to address adverse events and medical errors. there's implementation of some care transition protocols, so this has been looked at and they're starting to work on this more aggressively in the hospital, and there's expansion and integration of hospitalists that has already gone on. So when you take this back to the review tool, you start kind of answering where you fall on this continuum. So this is an opportunity to start thinking about kind of where someone would fall. So when you think about scoring someone, this is someone that would probably fall somewhere around stage three. There is a program that's established. There's some effective measurement and feedback going on. There's clearly protocols in place. There's opportunities to do this certainly in a more robust way and focus this with a little bit more structures and elements in place, but they're somewhere nicely in the middle in terms of establishing a program that has certainly some substance to it and is well integrated and strategically aligned within the organization. Obviously, folks have a lot of different variables that they would take into account to do their own self-assessment, but the goal here is really to identify in the most honest and self-reflective way possible where you are on those 10 main criteria, and then start to see if what you're finding on this kind of stages piece validates what you've already assumed or hypothesized would be your kind of location on this continuum. The suggested review process is really to have a review committee or some quality improvement leadership convene to review the tool and assess the extent of program development using this framework. You'd answer the high-level questions for each of the 10 criteria. You'd score the tool. You'd consider opportunities for improvement, and you'd set goals, a time frame, and some interval for reassessment of the development. Ongoing assessment is always a priority to kind of see where you are on the path of ongoing improvement activities. And again, as we said before, not just assessing where you are in terms of mortality rates and some of your other clinical performance targets, but also looking whether or not you are moving on this continuum in terms of putting structures and processes in place to better enforce and support your clinical management efforts. Also making sure that you're doing the work to build awareness and educate staff on the framework, the language you're using, and how you're integrating mortality in kind of a cross-dimensional way towards clinical departments and around the strategic priorities in the organization. And coupled with that, making sure both data is trended and results are shared across the board, making sure it's going from clinicians, administration, and up to the board. Again, reinforcing that cycle of embedding this, this is a priority for the organization. We have had some experiences with some hospitals. Some of them are actually on the call today. So, operator, if you can just open the lines now, I'd appreciate having a chance to call in some of the hospitals that may have trial-tested this tool themselves.
Thank you. At this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please press 0 followed by a 1 on your phone's keypad. Again, to ask a question, please press 01 now. Please hold for just one moment while our system compiles your responses.
I think we at least have someone on the phone from Milton, Cindy Page, and potentially Bay State as well as South Coast. So if any of you can join and talk a little bit about your experiences to date about the applicability of the tool and what you may have learned from the process of using it as a self-assessment guide.
Okay, we do have a question from Cindy Page. Cindy, you're live on the line.
Hello, this is Cindy. I just wanted to comment, we were one of the hospitals that did look at this tool initially, and when we sat down as a team and scored ourselves, I think one of the advantageous pieces was it really, I think, encouraged the group that sat down and did the self-assessment. We were encouraged by fact that we had a much more robust program than we thought we did, because none of us really sat down together and looked at the whole scope. I think it also helped us to start thinking, as now that we're all in budgeting season, to look at what we need to do or what we desire to do moving forward. What are our priorities going to be so that as we go into the budgeting season that we can plan appropriately? So that's what we've learned a little bit from the process so far.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Anyone else on the line that may have taken a test run with this tool?
As a reminder, if you would like to make a question, ask a question or make a comment, press 01 on your phone's keypad.
Okay. Well, let me just to go on to...
And we have, I'm sorry, we have a question from Nydia.
I just wanted to comment on the fact that we did sit down and we did do the self-assessment, and what
this
I really liked was
South
I liked
Coast,
the scale
right?
that you used, because it made it very easy when sitting as a team and people were starting to review the programs and things that we had in place. It's relevant when compared to whether or not we were actually doing those things for the sole purpose of trying to decrease our mortality rates, which in many cases we weren't. So I think it was very helpful to have the scale designed that way. It made it very easy to go back and review exactly what you were doing in light of the tool for the scoring.
Thank you. And Nydia, you're from South Coast, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. And let me just ask you one other question. Do you think it's a useful format for you to then set goals for what you want to focus on next?
I think it is, because I think it made it easy for us to see exactly where the opportunities were and where the gaps were.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you.
And next we have Pat Donovan McLeod. Hello, Pat Donovan McLeod. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes.
You're live
Hello?
On the line.
Hi. I was just wondering if the first person who spoke could talk a little bit about who they had at that table initially to go over that self-assessment tool and make the identification of the areas that they feel they have some work already being done in.
Cindy Page, your line is still live.
Oh, okay. This is Cindy from Milton. We pulled together just a very small group of people. It was myself. I'm the Vice President of Clinical and Support Services. I had the Vice President of Patient Care Services, who was also the Chief Nursing Operator. We also had the Director of Quality at the table, and a couple of key directors, nursing directors, and other clinical directors to sit down and have a conversation and look at what were we doing, why were we doing certain things, and did we, at that point in time, link what we were doing to mortality or not. So it was a very small group. It was, you know, kind of a little bit of a test to look at how the tool could help us to identify. I think it was no more, I'm just trying to think, I think we limited it to about 6 people, which was helpful. Otherwise, we would have probably taken hours to go through it. So I think starting very high level and then working your way down and breaking the parts, but a group of about 6 of us took a look at it.
Thank you.
And did you do anything differently at South Coast? Any different representation?
It appears as though that line has dropped off the call for a moment.
Okay, no problem. Any other questions?
There do not appear to be any at this time.
Okay, great. So in terms of the application of the tool, MHA is recommending that the tool is really used as a starting point. Ultimately, this is a good chance, as you've heard from the two examples we've had today at Milton and at South Coast, as just a chance to kind of convene a group, look at where you are, understand both how do you kind of categorize the work that you're doing, how do you start linking some of the work that you already have in place as kind of being under that whole kind of understanding of mortality reduction efforts, and then how do you start to set aims for improvement. Ultimately, we're hoping that as more of you start using it, we can start developing more of a robust framework that creates more of a common language around opportunities and some best practices, and that we can continue to learn from each other. Part of what we've done through the MLink series is start with this focus on structures and processes before we move into the work on the clinical drivers of mortality. Reason being is that we want to make sure that the programmatic piece is also being worked on in addition to the clinical piece, and always a chance to go back to this as a way of kind of saying, are you building the necessary systems and processes that will ultimately support ongoing sustainable improvements over time in your organization? So the tool will be adapted as we continue to assess the effectiveness and certainly learn from you. We're most interested in folks trying that out on an individual basis. We are more than happy to help. I've been involved in a number of calls with folks, meetings when those groups have initially been convened, and just kind of walking it through with the team, helping define, you know, both the questions and the answer format, and then going through the other details. The one thing that we didn't review on this call, but you have it as a reference, is that the last page of the tool, the last two pages, are really the elements, the subpart for each one of those 10 criteria. The intention of those are really to give more detail, more specifics. So while you're trying to define where you are, you can look at those subparts and really get a feel for what it really consists of. And that may help better define it for you. So we're looking for your feedback. We're certainly very interested in helping you start adapting and using the tool. There's no obligation around it. If it works for you, we encourage it. Again, we're happy to kind of sit with you or think it through with your team to figure out how you may be able to use it and certainly learn from you how to kind of continue to improve it so it becomes a useful resource for you with your mortality efforts. Any other questions at this time? Comments or questions?
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please press 01 on your phone's keypad now. It doesn't appear that there are any.
Okay, folks, well, thank you very much for joining us today. We're glad to have had the opportunity to reintroduce the tool to you and continue to offer our services and support as you attempt to adapt this tool for your internal review processes. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you, Patty. This is Pat Noga from MHA. Just wanted to underscore Patty's point about the availability of us to work with you and your individual teams as you assess and try to adopt this tool. Please contact us with any questions. And thank you for your time today. We will be sending you a brief survey to complete so we can get feedback on this program and endeavor to serve you better in future programs. Thank you.